This talk was recorded at Against the Stream Buddhist Meditation Society in Los Angeles and is freely offered for your enjoyment. For more information, please visit againstthestream.org.
Actually, a lot of this is what I wanted to talk about tonight. In my practice, my own practice at home, I've been experiencing a lot of restlessness in my sitting. And one of the neat parts about teaching is I get to go, oh, I'm going to really jump into this and see what's going on and see what this is about. So I wanted to talk about that restlessness that we so often experience on the cushion, on the chair, walking around, driving, 3 o'clock in the morning in bed, you know. It's something that it's considered one of the hindrances, which are hindrances to our liberation and our freedom from suffering. So what that means is it gets in the way. Yeah. One of the most important things about any of the hindrances is recognizing that it's happening. What do these things look like? What does this look like? For me, restlessness, and it's not just restlessness, it's also worry, agitation, distraction, impatience, intolerance. These are all the things that are fall under this bailiwick. It's such a great word. Under this umbrella of restlessness in the hindrances. So it's also without rest. So it's when the mind is agitated in some way. And for me, it's that screaming mind. You know, they call, you know, it's going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And it's like, I have to do this. I've got to do that. This time of the year, I think, there's a lot of that going on in our minds, especially around the holidays and planning and to-do lists. And I've got to do this, and I have to go there, and it just can be really, really, really overwhelming. And there's so many things to get done, but we have to recognize that before practice, this was just a soundtrack that was in my head, and these things would scream through my head, and I think I had to do something about them. I gotta get this done. I have to have the perfect New Year's Eve party. I have to have the perfect gifts. I have to do this. I have to do that. So there's that screaming, jumping mind running from this thought to that thought to the next thought. Or another manifestation of this restlessness, this agitation, this worry, is obsessive thought. Where instead of going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, it's one thing and only one thing. Over and over and over again. And it's hugely important. It's hugely important. So there's you know, it can be something that we're worried about. It because it's something that we're excited about, but it's just something that we kind of move into our head and look at from all these different directions. And so we just obsess on it. And again, if we're not paying attention, if we're not aware, it's reality. It's what we need to take care of, because this must be taken care of. And I have to fix this, because if I don't, then what will happen? You know? So obsession is an agitation for me, because it's just another part of restlessness. Another piece of restlessness or worry or agitation or that hindrance is worry. Is worry, is anxiety. Swine flu. You're coughing. It's probably swine flu. You better go to the doctor. There's some anxiety over that. I actually had this experience on my way here today. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she and her husband had been, somebody hacked their ATM, or the debit card, and apparently it happened when they went to use the gas station ATM, a debit card. And she said, you can tell, she said, the bank said, or whoever said, if you, you should try them and see if they're loose, because that's like somebody went and put it on top. I don't know what the mechanics of it, but they put the fake magnetic reader over the one that's there at the gas pump. So I'm getting gas tonight. and I slide my card through, and I went, So I rattled the reading card, and it was a little loose. And I went, now is that an acceptable looseness? Or are they just going to clean out my bank account? So the other two pumps were empty, so I just kind of went over and felt what that one was like. And then I went to the next one and felt what the next one was like. And I went, now these are tighter than that one. So I have the choice of worrying about whether I'm going to clean out my bank account. You know, so I've got anxiety and worry, and then I can lay some obsessive thinking on top of that. You know, like, am I going to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning worrying about this? I'm not. That I don't think I'm going to. It's really not sitting on me. And I think you know the difference. And I think my experience with this is like, oh, there's that idea going through my head. And look at this. Isn't this funny? Okay, I'm going to go jiggle leaf. But you know what? I'm not going to go there. So there's not that heaviness. There's not that pretzel in my gut. There's not that tightness. But there's that interesting, I could have gone with this a long time ago. Or I could go with some weird stuff. And I think probably if you think about it, we all have those little things that we do. So worry, you know, that worry. What if that happens? What if that happens? What if really, I'll let you guys know if they do clean out my bank account. So I know tomorrow, every day. So I'm also thinking, okay, every day I'm going to log into my online banking and check and make sure, just in case. So, I mean, it's smart to be proactive, but it's also how simple one little conversation, one little sentence can lodge in our minds, and something else happens and kicks off this train of what if, obsessive thinking. That's restlessness. That's being without rest. That's a form of suffering, you know? And that's the first noble truth. They're suffering, you know? And it's that little suffering. It's that little stuff that kind of causes my anxiety. Other type of restlessness, remorse, guilt over past deeds. Again, this time of year. How many people have embarrassed themselves on a holiday? You know? And oh my God, you got to fly back home and you got to see that cousin that you haven't seen since you puked on their shoes or whatever, or since you called his wife or whatever, or since this happened, or some things that maybe from years ago that are really sad and really painful and there's no way to make any kind of amends, or there's just some sorrow around that, or you're missing someone who's not here anymore. You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes up around these days. So there's a lot of those emotions and feelings that lodge. And we just kind of hook into them. And they cause all this discomfort and all this restlessness and all this worry, you know, and remorse and coulda, woulda, shoulda kinds of thinking that just hang out. But that's all part of this huge, huge umbrella of restlessness, of worry, of a hindrance to our peace, a hindrance to our serenity, a hindrance to our freedom from suffering. So, you know, when we're blind, we don't even notice that this is a hindrance. We don't notice that this is hey, there's something going on here. It's reality. It's fact. You know, we don't even realize that this is self-made. That we're doing this to ourselves because we've got dust in our eyes. You know, we're unclear. And that first factor on the Eightfold Path of right understanding and knowing things for what they really are, it's about, and the teaching of the Buddha is to recognize when there's a hindrance present. Recognize when there's restlessness. Recognize when you've got this obsession, when you've got this, you know, you're carrying around this remorse over things that have gone on 20 years ago. Or last week, or whenever. So it's about waking up to agitation, fear, worry, and recognize them for what they are. The teachings in Buddhism, they call the hindrances, Mara is the personification of this crap of greed, hatred, and delusion. And Mara is always going after the Buddha. And so I like to talk about seeing Mara, and that's actually the teaching of the Buddha, seeing these hindrances for what they are, recognizing them. I've thought of this thing that it's, you know, Mara playing with us. And even if that doesn't ring for you, Mara playing with you, it's just recognizing these things for what they are, these hindrances. So we have to call them what they are. They're just fear. They're just worry. They're just agitation. They're restlessness. They're not inherently good. They're not inherently bad. They just exist. They're just where our minds are taking us. Our conditioned response to what's going on. A thought comes into my head of something that happened 20 years ago, and my conditioned response to that is remorse. Or a thought about, catching swine flu comes into my head. I'm filled with anxiety. You know, or getting ripped off from the gas pump. I'm filled with anxiety. You know, and I think these are things that are real that need to be dealt with. But when I step back and recognize that it's just Mara, it's just this hindrance, then there's the opportunity to examine and investigate and maybe let go of this stuff. So what feeds this stuff? Where does this stuff come from? Generally, restlessness is an imbalance of energy. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of... That's been my experience on the cushion sometimes, especially in the morning. I'm a morning person, so I'll get up and I work from home. I've worked from home for a few years, and I can work from home because I have laptop, will travel. And I've got a lot of stuff that needs to get done, that planning. That restlessness over things that need to be taken care of. Because if this doesn't happen, then that doesn't happen. So I'll be sitting on the cushion trying to keep my knee from shaking like this because, you know, dun, 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 dun. And sometimes, and this is what's been happening recently, which has made me want to investigate restlessness, I stop and I get up and I go. And the worst thing is I got a new phone last week and now I can get email on it. So I use the timer on my phone for my meditation. So I'm like, no, don't stop in the middle of your meditation to check your email. Which has been really tempting. But I'm like, whoa. Totally overamped. Without even any coffee, really just too much energy. It's like the flip side of sleepiness, where you've got this, you know, lack of energy. It's like, okay, there's too much energy there. There's way too much energy there. Another cause or another thing that feeds restlessness is this predilection for thinking things through. Somebody was talking about thinking, you know, gotta figure stuff out. That's where the mind gets hooked into. And I was listening to somebody and they were talking about this thinking. When we think so much, we think if we get the answer, then we will achieve the wisdom. Then we'll have the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And then we'll be happy all the time. So if I just think enough, and what happens is all we do is we think, and we get caught up in that thinking. But a couple of people talked about get out of the head. It's about getting out of the head. Because the thinking is just a response. Again, it's just a response to whatever stimulus I'm receiving. A thought, a smell, a taste. It's just something comes in, triggers a thought, and I'm off to the races. I'm absolutely off to the races. And so it's not about thinking it out. I mean, about thinking. It's about not thinking. Another thing that causes restlessness, and I see this in me all the time, is in the sutta, is listening to provocative thought or extensive conversation. And provocative thought for me is Fox News. MSNBC, both of them. Actually, my husband, bless his heart, is a news junkie, and I'll walk in the house and something will be on news, C-SPAN, MSNBC, not Fox, but MSNBC shows Fox News on, or whatever, they comment on Fox News or whatever's going on, and I can be equanimous, life can be really lovely, I can just be all good, and I'll hear one sentence and I'll be jumping up and down and wanting to throw things at the TV. Split second. Provocative thought causing restlessness. Don't need to have that reaction. Same thing, you know, one minute I'm fine, the next minute I'm not so fine. It's that causes restlessness. I'll get into that in a second. You know, and it's not just that I don't like necessarily what's being said on the news. There can be stories about injustice in the world. There can be stories about really horrific things that are going on. And I cannot agree with them, and I can be wanting to do something about it, but the crazy reaction is the one that's out of whack. There can be a reaction where you can be displeased and want to do something about the injustices in the world, but you can do it in a much more equanimous way. You can receive this information and want to do something about it, but not need to throw a table at the television around it. So there's a balanced response. That energy that, you know, wants to you know, that's the agitation, that's the restlessness, that's the discomfort. That's the lack of rest. So there's a lot of that around restlessness. And then also excessive striving. Somebody was talking about, you know, wanting to be striving for anything, wanting to be the best at work, wanting to have the best holiday party, wanting your gifts to be the best ones they ever received ever, wanting to be the best meditator ever. You know, whatever our striving, whatever that looks like for each of us, it's all individual. But if we strive, you know, going for the next one, always leaning forward before we're done with this moment. Who is it? Anshin Thomas, Claude Anshin, who was the guy who taught here on Saturday. I heard him speak on Sunday, and he said something that I've heard a lot, but I forget. Don't think about the in-breath when you're only breathing, when you're breathing the out-breath. And don't think about the out-breath while you're on the in-breath. You know, I have this tendency to buy new shampoos when I'm still have maybe a quarter left in the current one I have, because I'm like, okay, I'm done. It's like, but it's not finished yet. Well, I'm done. You know, it's time to move on. Time to move on. You know, it's like, I'm not quite done yet. Okay, I'm still chewing this bite, but I'm loading up my fork with the next bite. That's the mindful eating, is you put your fork down and wait till you're done, and then you pick up the next one, staying in the moment. A few years ago, I did the year to live practice, where you live as though you only have 1 year left to live. And the first thing I did in that year to live was I quit buying shampoos before I was done with the ones I had. So it's just one of those things. But it's interesting when you start seeing these things, because we've been walking around doing them all without waking up to the fact that we're restless. And this restlessness, this agitation is driving us. Driving us many times to unskillful behaviors, because we want or we don't want, you know, craving and clinging and aversion. So, how do we deal with this shit? Okay. First, as I keep saying, is to recognize it. That right view, the seeing that this is restlessness. It's not fact. It's not, if I get that, you know, that one thing, it's going to be okay. That's totally wrong view. That's wrong thinking. That's almost deluded. That one thing, whoever here got that one thing they wanted and are now happy? It, you know, if it were only true, I would sell you the answer tonight before you left. But it's not. So it's about learning that this stuff is restlessness, and recognizing it for what it is. Joseph Goldstein, who's a teacher back in Massachusetts, who's one of the earliest teachers who was studying over in India and Burma and Thailand, talks about two different ways of dealing with unease and with worry. And the first one is to be open it up and be spacious with it. So when you're sitting on the cushion and these things start pouring over you, allow them to be. Allow them to just float through. Note them for what they are. Oh, there's some restlessness. There's some worry, you know. There's some remorse. Then this is where a lot of the healing comes in, especially if you start sitting there with some perhaps things that have always been painful, those memories that come back year in and year out that are just like, oh, I can't believe I did that. You know, that remorse, that regret. Sit with it. Allow it to be. And it'll... The hope is, and the experience, my experience when I've done this, and a lot of other people I've talked to, a lot of teachers, a lot of books are written about that when you do sit there with this and you acknowledge it, you know, and you bring some compassion and some forgiveness and some loving kindness, and you really experience it, it brings that healing to it. You know, so it's like, I just need to feel this. Just need to let it be what it is, without needing it to be different, because that's what we've always tried to do, is push it away, push it away, push it away. Instead, we get to just, okay, this is the way it is. Let me sit with this. So it's that spaciousness. In Zen mind, beginner's mind, Suzuki talks about horses. And instead of putting a fence around them, just let them out to pasture and just let them be. And it's the same thing he's talking about, all these things that come up. Just let them be. Know them for what they are. Don't try and change it or run away, but just let them be. So that's one of the ways of dealing with it. The other way is to concentrate. Bring some concentration. When your mind is racing and going like 1,000 miles an hour, bring the focus back to the present moment. Bring your focus back to your breath. I know I've been out and about and I sometimes have to just put my hand in front of my face. Physically give myself a like, stop. Where are my feet? Okay, bring myself and my head and my body back to the present moment, because the restlessness has gotten control of me. The agitation, the filled with I need to, because I'm so stuck in my head. I'm so stuck in these conditioned responses like this, I gotta do that, gotta do that, gotta do that. It's like, let it be. So when dealing with all these things that come up, with the restlessness, the agitation, the worry, the remorse. One of the things I want to think about with the remorse and the guilt, because that can sometimes be such a painful one when we replay that, obsessively replay that stuff over and over and over again, you know. That's how we start solidifying ourselves, solidifying these ideas of who we are. I'm this person who did this, or I'm this person, you know, and we just kind of make that. This is who I am, you know. What we really want to do is realize is that that's just our reaction to this thing that happened so many years ago. And that was then, and I'm not this person anymore. You know, and really truly examine the intention of who we are today. My intention is not to do those things. You know, my intention is not to behave unskillfully today. I was in Syria a few years ago, and there was this bug in my room, and it's this weird creature, and I was trying to get it, it was stuck in the screen in my window, and I was trying to get it out. And I accidentally killed it in trying to save it. And I was like beside myself. I was like whacked out. It was a totally out there response to what I did, but it was just my response. And what I had, and I was like crying for like a day over killing this weird bug. And I even knew that this is a totally weird response, but it's like, okay, this is how you're responding. But I had to also realize my intention was really good, you know. And in Buddhism, your intention is of prime importance. There's no road to hell paved with good intentions in Buddhism, okay? Leave that at the door. So my intention is good. So I realize that I may have been really unskillful in the past, and sometimes I'm really unskillful today, but my intention is to live with integrity and to not cause harm, and to really be willing to let some stuff go. Be willing to let go of that identity that I have so much invested in. You know? Takes up a lot of time. It kills a lot of time in the day, me thinking about this stuff. But it's about willing to let that go and soften that around the edges. Let it dissipate. You know? And to also realize that things cannot be any other way but the way they are right now. Things can't be any other way than the way they are. It's really simple, but it's kind of profound. I think it should be this way, and I get upset because it's not this picture. Well, it's not this picture because it's this picture. And it can't be that picture because it's this picture. So it's being with the way it is absolutely right now, okay, moment to moment awareness of right now, okay, tax deduction. Right now, it's like this. Right now, it's like this. Gary, right now, it's like this. So this is, and being okay with it and knowing that it's like this. And if it hurts, if it's scary, if it's fearful, as Jack Fornfield says, be the first person to die of fear. Be the first person to die of worry. Be with it and feel it and let it be. Know what it's like in the body. Get out of the head. And there's this one, I want to close with this one. A couple things. Noah, when he teaches walking meditation, he'll give you, he heard, I forget where he heard it, but I learned it from him, and I absolutely love it. When you're doing walking meditation, you have this one little phrase, mantra, whatever you say, nowhere to go, nothing to do, no one to be. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, no one to be. Just right here and right now. And the one, and then this final, this a line from one of the suttas, talking about calm. And calm is what you have when you're not restless. When there's rest, there's calm. This is peace. This is exquisite. The resolution of all fabrications, the relinquishment of all acquisitions, the ending of craving, dispassion, cessation, unbinding. Exquisite. So, we have a couple minutes for any questions or thoughts. Yeah.
Are a lot of the responses like anxiety and striving and stuff like survival mechanisms? I mean, don't you think some of you need to have it? And there are real things to worry about. Like, how do you.
I'm sorry. There are things that need to be taken care of. I have responsibilities. I need to do stuff. It's that extra level of agitation that is probably unnecessary, because that agitation comes from my craving for a specific result, my craving for it to be a certain way, usually good for me, pleasure, no pain. You know, I need it to be a certain way. And it never is that way. And again, this monk, Anchin Thomas, when he was talking on Sunday morning, he was talking about fear is never what we think it is. Anxiety is never what we think it is. Intimacy is never what we think it is. We have these ideas of what they are, and it's never like that. And my worry is about, you know, these little blocks of ideas that I have, these fixed ideas that I'm struggling for or against. So it's about letting go of those fixed ideas, doing what I have to do, and let go of the worry. So there's, one needs to do what, take care of one's responsibilities, but that extra level of it can be let go of. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just feel like sometimes with those, the negative things are what like motivate me, and like, really care that you have.
Well, what I would suggest is if you find yourself uncomfortable, or there's a sense of unease or discomfort, or just not, then that's when you begin the investigation of, okay, do I need to really feel like this? And you start recognizing, again, I say, recognition of how these things manifest for each of us is where this stuff starts. So that's what I would suggest. Yeah.
Isn't it true that a lot of the emotions and feelings that you're talking about are the exact definition of suffering? And it's not the emotion that is causing the displeasure, it's the resistance emotion or the attachment to the emotion. So if you're feeling uncomfortable about not having enough money, then make more. it's the attachment that causes the suffering. And none of us are without attachments. But that's the goal, to deal with it, not to exist.
Right. To be able to be with the way things are, whatever that is. And greet each moment with equanimity. Greet pain with pleasure, with compassion. Greet happiness with gladness. Really just the way it is, to be able to be with it, no matter what. So, I think that's about all the time I have. Thank you guys for being here tonight.
You have just listened to a podcast from Against the Stream Buddhist Meditation Society. If you'd like to make a contribution to help support these teachings, please visit againstthestream.org.